Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money from the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
All right, tonight we got kind of started kind of late, but we're introducing a new podcast that will be here, featured here on Sunday nights. It's titled Healthcare Distinction. So I'm going to call a couple of people to see if I can get them back on air. So let's take this musical interlude.
She breaks the mold of what we think of as what girls are interested in versus what guys are interested in. She's an individual.
Welding, grinding, cutting.
Oh,
like today's podcast, or we're introducing a new podcast today, which is titled Healthcare Distinctions, which this podcast was inspired by my mother, who made her transition or change energy forms. Last night or early this morning, like I think it was 12:58. That's when I got the call, 12:58 a.m. So what was interesting, I was talking to a friend of mine about health. Then I got a phone call, like to about 12:58 or so, and they told me her heart stopped, cardiac arrest. And they were trying, heard him in the back trying to resuscitate him, but to put the doctor on zero blood pressure, and I just said, you know, let her go. Simply because to go any further, he would probably crack ribs, stick, it wouldn't have been nice. And possibly a vegetable. So she lived 93 years, which is a pretty good run. And if you go to our Facebook page, which is Housemakers, a social network, Housemakers, a social network, there is a picture of my mother on that page. Anyway, so that she inspired that, and here's the reason why. She had now on the cause of death, which I was told was heart attack. But and most people say, well, okay, heart attack. But let's look at the what triggered that heart attack. Well, she had pneumonia, but it was a specific type of pneumonia, sepsis, and a urinary tract infection. And basically, her body was inflamed. So, and a lot of this stuff, all three could have been, in my opinion, cured. But it's how you go about it. But the first thing is, the caregivers that we had, because she had caregivers for like 2+ years. They didn't recognize it. So over the last 3 or 4 days, I've learned a lot about caregiving. And so this particular podcast, which we'll do every Sunday night, will feature some aspect of healthcare, particularly these distinctions of healthcare. Preventative health care, maintenance health care, and curative health care. Now, just for the record, you also have palliative health care, hospice health care as well, and we're going to go into spiritual health care and mental psychological health care. But so if you had to hire a caregiver, and most likely you're going to have to train them, but you got to get educated first. So well, we're going to bring in various people so we can educate people on, and now we're not talking about medicine. We're just talking about basic health care and what these distinctions are. So but you can recognize, all right, this person might possibly be, and then you can direct them to the correct professional to help them out. Or in many cases, you can point them in a direction where they can solve their health problem themselves. Okay. And we'll review my mother's case, not so much tonight, but and on other podcasts, and we'll take a look at you know, like with pneumonia, because that, you know, one of the doctors said, well, she has pneumonia. Well, after I started looking up pneumonia, and I've had pneumonia, but I never looked it up. And so far, I've found four basic distinctions of pneumonia. There's communal pneumonia, viral pneumonia, bacterial pneumonia, and aspiration pneumonia. And we're going to have Bopak. Matter of fact, this is just an introduction. Tomorrow on It's My House, we're going to have a two-hour It's My House where we go into all this. So, and I'll break down more of my mother's case so you can probably, it can probably help you. My mother was a registered nurse for over 50 years. Like I said, she passed at 93. She worked many years in the emergency room, given anesthesia. And after she retired or was semi-retired, she worked private duty. So she had a lot of experience. And health-wise, well, she must have did something right to physically live to 93. But I'll share with you some of the good habits that she, health habits that she had in earlier years, including up into her 80s. And then when she stopped, drinking water is one of them. She used to be probably one of the most well-hydrated people for most of her life. And when she stopped hydrating herself like she used to, then her health started to decline. So we're going to go into that tomorrow. And like I said, this healthcare distinction will be on every Sunday night. And we're working on healthcare villages offline. So the stuff that we've been talking about all along with the tiny house villages and tiny houses, we're still doing that, but at the core of it, healthcare. All right. Let's take, and then we'll give like many. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a recipient of what do you call it? A heart transplant. This is the 21st year that he's had his heart transplant, his new heart. And speaking of which, so we want to have a lot of success stories on here, people that were written off or given, I mean, just low odds, but then they're still living today. Anyway, let's go to 773. You're on heart care. I mean, excuse me. Healthcare distinctions version of It's My House. Good morning. I mean, good evening, Pleasant.
Good evening, sir. And you have my sympathy for the loss of your mother, because I've been through that several times. I've been through it with my mother, my father, and a host of aunts, and a few children. So healthcare is a very, very important thing that we have to take care of. Is the first, our health care. Our health
right.
is one first thing that we have to pay attention to, which I didn't do for years. And I survived and have survived a heart, an open heart surgery. So that happened just last year. That I had open heart surgery for September 15th.
Now, Pleasant, what was your age, if you don't mind sharing, when you had this open heart surgery?
I was 78 when I had open heart surgery. I'm 79 now. I'll be 80 my birthday May 3rd.
Oh, okay. You're a Taurus. My birthday is May 24th.
Oh, hello. Hello, my neighbor.
Yeah. So, all right, so at 78, that's amazing. Now, what do you attribute, because you're alive and well, what did you do to bounce back from that surgery?
Well,
I had
a lot to do with the care that I had. My wife, my daughter, I have a baby girl that's a registered nurse, and she had been in that business for about 20 years. And my wife, she had been working in a dental office for 50-some-odd years. So they was pretty understanding about the need of my health, because my heart rate was 23% when I walked into the hospital. And the doctors, they was undecided whether or not to work on me or tried to work on me because of my heart rate. They thought I would die on the table because
okay.
of my strength. Because of my strength and the way I have lived my life and the food that I've eaten over in the period of being this old, they didn't understand why how strong my system was. And
right.
the other thing that I'm a person that when I decide to do something, I do it. And I haven't decided to die yet. I have decided to live. So that was a lot of what brought me through the heart surgery. Because they hadn't
okay.
ever seen, according to them, they had never seen anybody bounce back that fast. So
okay.
I am now. Because I couldn't get out of the bed. I had to have two nurses, one on each side of me, to carry me from the bed to the bathroom. But I refused to stay in the bed to use the bath. The bath, to use the pot that they put under you for you to have your bowels to bath. I said, no,
uh-huh.
I want to get up. And that's the other thing that you have to do. You have to be will-minded to get out of bed, to get up, so that whatever fluid is in your body will move. Your fluid in your body is like oil in a car. If the oil is sitting
right.
in the car that runs out of oil, the engine will lock up because the parts inside the car stop working and they get all clogged up together. So the car quits. The engine blows up. Your body is pretty much the same way as a car engine.
I agree.
So you have to get up and move. You have to get up and move. I don't care if it hurts that you have to get up. You have to get up. And when you move, that causes the fluid, the blood, and all of the things that's in your body causing you to work. It works with you. But if you're sitting there, it let get molded, and it doesn't move. So you cannot allow the fluids that's circulating in your body to get molded. You have to make it work. And there's another thing that I discovered about 21 years ago. Since I started the organization that I have started, one of my members brought a young man to one of my meetings. And he had a couple of gallons of aloe vera juice. And he was telling me the benefits of the aloe vera juice. Well, being an old truck driver, I didn't believe none of that because I had never been on any medication whatsoever. But at the same time he came to the meeting, I had hemorrhoids. I mean, I had hemorrhoids so bad they was talking about giving me an operation to cut them out. And you know what?
Okay.
They cut out hemorrhoids. You're taking out part of you're taking out part of your guts, I call it. Well, I didn't
right.
want the operation. So I didn't buy any of the aloe vera juice right then. I went home and I pondered about it, and I decided to go back and order a case of the, because of being on the road, I wasn't coming home every night. I was staying on the road and bouncing up and down the truck, and the hemorrhoids was caused by all of the bouncing up and down that I had been doing. So I took a gallon with me, and he told me to take 2 ounces in the morning, 2 ounces at night when I shut down. So I did as I was told. And about, I would say, I can't give you the exact time that I noticed that my hemorrhoids were gone. But I would
okay.
say within about three months or four, I didn't have the soreness when I would use the bathroom anymore. None. And I haven't had any since because I used the aloe vera juice. And I give the credit to the aloe vera juice because when I did the research on the aloe vera juice, after I got well, not before, I was too angry or too... whatever you want to call it, ignorant to to check out what the aloe vera juice was really good for. I have not been able to get aloe vera juice in Chicago at any of the health food stores, but I ordered the aloe vera juice from California, and I keep the aloe vera juice pretty much in my house until I use it up. And right now, at this point in time, I've got to order another gallon of aloe vera juice because I want to keep it around just in case that I need it.
Okay.
And when I took the operation, I ordered me a half gallon of aloe vera juice and took it before I went into the hospital for the operation. Because I was out of the hospital, and before I went there to take the operation, they had fixed me up to where I was out for about a month. You might remember the times that I was baking on the calls. And I took me some aloe vera juice before I went into the hospital for the operation. And my advancement has been so great, they still have not been able to understand why did this man bounce back so fast and being so old. Well, I know that age had a lot to do with it because I can't do what I used to do. But I'll tell you the truth. I have not had a pain, not one, not a pain since I've had my operation. Nowhere.
And okay, good.
I'll be 80 years old May 3rd. So I plan to take care of my health. And my health is the only thing I got left now for me to take care of. So I did practically everything I wanted to do. So why shouldn't I take care of my health? And why shouldn't I travel? Why shouldn't I take my medications when needed? My wife put me on a medication regimen when I came out of the hospital. That was something that was given because of her experience in the medical field that I had to, according to her, I had to take my medication on time, every day, 7 days a week. And I contribute my life expansion to her taking care of me and my health. And today...
Yeah. You know what, I just thought of a new, not a new term, but I guess for me, your health support network, because people have heard of the support networks, but a health support, how many people would you say you would have in your health support network?
I had three in our support network on a daily basis. I got my niece, my daughter, and my wife, three, on a daily basis in my health network. And that's 24 hours a day. That's something I've had.
Okay.
And I still have one because of how I progressed to be better. And that's my wife. She's the warden. She's the warden to make sure that my medication is taken on time, every day.
All right.
Well, let me back that up. Because I have a home care person that comes in twice a week. And she's on point with my health on a daily basis, twice a week.
Okay.
So I've got two people for the last 2 years or more in my network. And
for anybody of any age, because you can get sick at any age.
Yeah, sure you can.
If you don't have a health support network, I would advise getting one. And I'm talking about these are people that you can call on, and you don't have to pay them. All right.
No.
That will do. I mean, and part of that network, maybe a person, their partner in network is to drive you to appointments. That's what they do. All right. Other people in your health support network, because it's going to be different for everybody, because everybody's got different health needs. There might be coming over to talk to you or eat with you or something like that. And that goes, socialization goes a long way in helping somebody
heal. Let me give you a little bit of the good things that happened to me when I came out of the hospital. When I came out of the hospital, I had two nurses to attend to me for the first 4 months that I was out of the hospital on a daily basis. Two, one in the morning, one in the evening. Then, after I got better, the way I could move around myself, I had a physical nurse come in, so that made me have three. Then I had my wife that was my medication doctor. I call her my medication doctor that was on my case. Then I had my daughter on my case every weekend, twice a week, that was Saturday and Sunday, when she wasn't at work. So my regimen of care went on for about a year after coming out of the hospital. And then it started to fall off a little bit at a time. Now I'm down to two people, and that's my wife and my housekeeper. But I've had a network of healthcare people. Tremendous.
Yeah, I would advise people, if you don't have one, organize your own personal health network. These are people that no charge will be willing to help you with your health. I mean, it could be a buddy system, actually.
Let me share something with you. We, as a people, and one of the things that I've been complaining about for the last 26 years, we have to set up our own insurance health care system. We cannot allow and wait for elected officials to supply health care for us. We have to set up our own insurance network. It's where we're going to get old, and we never prepare for getting old and dying. I just buried a friend of mine here the other day. I may have told you about my doc. My wife had worked for a doctor for a little over 50 years, and he and I came from the same town. We went to the same college, AM&M in Pine Bluff, and he died at age 92. They were just buried him yesterday. So if we don't set up our healthcare system for us to live longevity, we will continue to have bad health at old age. The other thing I like about what you're doing with the tiny house thing is, I like what you're doing with the tiny house thing is, because after we get older, we don't need a lot of room. We need a smaller place to where, like me, I got too much house right now. My wife is talking about selling the house that we're in. But I like it because this is where I've been for a long time, because I'm familiar with it. But the other thing I've seen with moving out people out of their habitat, and they don't have the care that they need, they don't last long, they die soon. If you move them out of their habitat, where they've been used to being for the last 50 years, they don't live that long because they are not in their habitat as to where they go from one location to the next. Mentally, that is a mental thing in healthcare. There are many things that play a part in healthcare that we never expect and we've never been taught. Tiny house is one that we need to start getting used to. I was born and raised in an 8-room log house in Arkansas. And I didn't leave there until I was 19 years old. And I raised a family. And I've been in business. And I've been doing this. And I've been doing that. But I never prepared for dying. Never. I thought I'd live forever. But that's not the case. And here's the other thing that I'd like to share with you. You have to eat right if you want to live a long time. And you have to have somebody to prepare the food that you eat so that you are made sure to eat right, like teaching a kid its ABCs. If you don't eat right, you will destroy the organs of your body. I have never been a drinker. I have never smoked a cigarette. I have never tried dope of any kind. I have never been on medication up until 2.5 years ago. Never. Not even aspirins. So I'm saying to the audience tonight, get yourself together, eat right, and here's something else that's killing us and we haven't paid any attention. I drove a truck over the road. And if all of us that has run up down the road, you see truck stops and they're here and they're there and a little bit of everywhere. Do you know I never have a habit of stopping at a truck stop, eating truck stop food? After I had been out there for a couple of years and I saw that the food was not agreeing with my body, because your body will tell you when it's not agreeing with you, I didn't stop at truck stops. I would make my own food. I had my own kitchen in my truck. I cooked my own food. I had my little stove or whatever you want to call that thing, hot plate, in my truck. And I drove in my truck for 35 years and never had been to a doctor. Here's something else that I had. I had a tumor in my left side. And the doctor that was taking care of me when I would go for my checkups, because you have to have a checkup every year to drive a truck, we never did pay attention that I had a tumor growing in my left side. That tumor grew to be about 5 pounds and a few ounces. I had it taken out at 85. The doctor said I was strong as new. When I got through with that operation, I went to work. Went back to work, retired, and went back to work doing lawn service and renovating homes and buying houses and selling houses and a whole lot of other stuff. And they told me, said, you ain't supposed to be picking up over 10 pounds. I didn't have no clue about stopping work or slowing down. And I came out, the organization was growing, and I started organizing people all over the country to do this and to do that. I opened a clothing factory, and when I came home, I was on my way to a funeral in St. Louis, and my stomach started hurting, and my wife says, boy, you don't need to go out of here and be at the funeral, mom, because that was my last cousin on my mother's side to pass. From her sister's last child, and we all grew up together. But they didn't take care of their health like I did. I've been to both of their films, my cousin's films, and both of them was my age. So I'm telling the audience today, you have to eat right, because a lot of the food that you're buying from the grocery stores today have a lot of poison in it. And we don't know who it is. This guy, whoever he is, Santos or San Big Toe, what his name is, has been able to infiltrate the food system, the food supply system, and a bunch of the shit is poison.
Pleasant, like I said, we're introducing. Pleasant, hold on a minute. We're introducing this podcast tonight, Healthcare Distinctions. We're going to wrap up. We're going to bring one more person in to speak, because there's another podcast on Soul Purpose Healing. So the people that are in that, we want to interrupt that program. I got Sylvia. Could you share with us in 2 minutes what a person should look for a caregiver?
What a person should look for is, first of all, do a background check on the person. I know you're not going to get all of the information, you know, that you might possibly, of course, need, but do a background check and when you interview them, ask them plenty of questions to get the information that you need to know that they'll take very good care of the person that you're hiring them to care for. Ask them all kinds of questions and just really do a mental check and be on their butts, you know, when they are caring for, like, say, your mom, Leandro. You know, I guess you've had some problems with some people, but you just got to be very careful and try and find out as much as possible about these people and make sure they're qualified, because even though they may not be registered nurse or anything, they should have some knowledge of how to care for an individual, you know, no matter what sickness it is, and make sure they make the right choices and do the right things and are there and prompt with taking. I'm caring for a lady right now, and I don't have any degrees or anything, but I'm making sure that, you know, she's got the proper care and she's eating properly, and, you know, I make sure she uses that walker as much as she fights with me. If a person is bedridden, make sure that they are moved every hour or every 2 hours and turn them over and get them up if you can and make sure they're eating properly. And, you know, just try your best to love them up too, because it's a very critical time to where they need that care and affection. So just do a lot of research and be on top of the people. So
okay. Thanks. What I want to do is segue in. There's another podcast, Soul Purpose Healing, which takes place in 3 minutes. So I'm going to let the host, the executive producer on that, give that number out and people that, so she can get the topic out and people that want to listen to that. We'll be here every Sunday tomorrow with Healthcare Distinctions, and tomorrow we'll do a full 2 hours on this topic of Healthcare Distinctions. 407, what's the topic for tonight and the phone number?
Good evening, L.A. Thank you, and my condolences and the congratulations on your mother's reward, actually. But we're going to take her life and her lessons with us everywhere we go. I was able to meet his mother yesterday, and I'm glad I got a chance to speak to her and see her. And so I'm learning from her. And tonight on Soul Purpose Healing, we're going to talk about celestial mass and death cafe talk, because some people don't even know that there are death cafes spreading all over the globe, and people are just talking about what they're afraid to talk about. So we're going to have a conversation about that. But most important, one of our hosts, Andika, will be talking about celestial math, because mathematics is the language which our Creator wrote the universe with. And so we're becoming more and more knowledgeable about those type of things. And the number is 215-383-5863. We start in about a minute. So thank you.
Okay. And like I say, if you go to our Facebook page, which is Housemakers, a Social Network, Housemakers, a Social Network, then you'll see a snapshot of my mother. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the night and tune in to Soul Purpose Hill.
Good night.